Millions of Syrians have been made refugees by the years-long civil war in their home country. President Trump's recent executive actions attempting to limit refugees from coming to the U.S. and keeping people from seven Muslim-majority nations from entering have increased the fear and uncertainty among those who had hoped to come here. Jenny Dang was forced to leave his home in Sudan more than two decades ago. He was among the more than 20,000 who were labeled the Lost Boys of Sudan. After spending time in a refugee camp in Ethiopia, he found himself in the Phoenix area, not knowing anything about life in America. Jenny is at work on an autobiography with journalist Carla Lant, and they join me. Jenny, you were 7 years old when you were forced from your home. Did you just keep running out of the human will to survive?
Yeah. And part of that, I think, being a cattle herder in South Sudan, that kind of pep me and pep many of us. Yeah. And it saved some life because we could have been in the villages. Probably I wouldn't be sitting here talking with you right now. So I was very fortunate, and I always said I'm very lucky. I actually was in the area where I was in. I was, you know, right place in the right time.
What was the most outstanding emotion? Did fear overtake anything? Because now you say that you're lucky, and that's amazing to be able to say that. But at the time, how could you have considered yourself lucky?
Right. So I didn't even know. What I do remember is that, I'm still breathing and walking. That was it. And the camp, by the time we get to the camp, most of us was wiped out, most of the kids, you know. So and that's why I kept saying, you know, I was lucky because it could have been me, either eating by wild animal, getting shot at, drowning in the river. I mean, you name it, starvation, the weak left behind, and the wild animal just drag them. So by the time we get to the camp, we didn't know what to make the camp because the camp, it wasn't a very, when you talk about refugees camp, many people in the world would relate to this, who are here or still living, including my own family right now.
Do you have some sort of PTSD or whatever it may be? How much of it is front of your brain still when you, not just what you experience, when you hear what other people are experiencing too?
Absolutely. I still, this day, I've been here for 21 years in the United States right now. I'm still juggling with that between, because I feel the feel what they're going through because I lived it. I deal with that every day on my own life. I'm trying to move on with life, but that's still on me. And sometimes I have a nightmare still about it.
Carla, how do you do justice to a story like this? How the conversations you have with Jenny, can you give us some insights about what that's like?
We're trying to tell the story of the real story of refugees in the United States because it's a great story. It's a proud story. And it's heartbreaking to me that somehow we have this narrative now about the story of refugees in the United States being dangerous or fraught, because that's just not what the facts are. We've had a marvelously successful refugee program in the United States for, you know, since it began. And this is just one of the stories, but I hope it will be one that helps people understand what we really do with our refugees here and what they do for us.
On a practical level, when you're adjusting to a completely new world, how important is it to be able to have, whether it's Lost Boys Center or just a group of people knowing that you have this common experience, does it help your back get stronger to say, hey, we're going to move forward together?
Absolutely. For me, when I first arrived, I couldn't speak a word of English. By not speaking the language, now it's shutting me out with everything. Now, my duty is to, I want to learn. I was starved for that. Mm-hmm. I want to be part of it so I can listen to it, so I can understand how to order food in the McDonald's or Jack in the Box. Yeah. You know, like thing like that. I remember I was just sitting because I was 16. They couldn't put me in eighth grade or college because I would be behind because of the language, because I'd never been to any former school at all. So they're like, well, the only way, we're going to put you in ninth grade with no background. This is your new way to start the language school, go to school.
So how has Phoenix generally, how has Arizona been to you as a person? Is this a place that has been welcoming to refugees or not?
It been welcoming me. I've been here for 21 years. This is the reason why I'm here. I met so many wonderful people here. And I, you know, Phoenix been, and the same thing, probably you ask other, my other countrymen will say the same thing to you. It's been very good. You know, we met so many wonderful human beings, either through the churches, through businesses, through the media.
Caroline, what have you learned about him from his experience, but also what are certain things that we as a society need to take away from meeting someone like Janet, who just said he was here at 16, he's dedicated himself to being an American.
He definitely has, and he is an American. He's an American citizen, and a proud one. Well, we walked in the lobby today, and he was saying, oh, yeah, I remember this place from when I went to college here. That's one of the things to take away. Refugees come here wanting to start over, wanting to be a part of things. Like he was saying, I think a lot of people are into this idea that refugees come here wanting handouts, or that they just want people to bring them everything that they need. But if you listen to what he's saying, that's not what people want. People just, they want to be welcomed, but the help, the kind of help that they want is to teach me something, show me how things work. Mm. It's like when you have a new neighbor in your neighborhood, you don't bring them money, you welcome them, you invite them over and you say, hey, these are the great schools, or these are the great parks you're going to love in this area. Here's our favorite restaurant. You just help them feel like they belong. And the same is true of refugees. It's a little bit different scale.
When we have a perspective on refugees generally, how important is it to see that any refugees are complicated human beings, that they're not the narrative now of we should be scared of them, but also not to be go with the narrative of every refugee is the greatest person of all time. They're real human beings like the rest of us, with faults and positives.
Absolutely, that's true. And you have to also appreciate the fact that most, if not all, refugees have been through tremendous trauma, and probably recently. So just like anybody else who's coped with trauma, like possibly some veterans or possibly some people who've been through violent situations, mm-hmm. you need to realize that that's very difficult to cope with, and it might be for the duration.
Jenny, my last question for you was about what is it like to go back to your original home? It's almost three decades now. You want to go back and help folks who are still there, but for you, is that something you have to get yourself ready for mentally and emotionally?
Yes, it's... And for all this many years, I was not even thinking about it at first. And then when I started thinking about it, it hit me, like, right away. Last year, we went for the first time, a year or so ago. We were just coming back. It was it was unbelievable roller coaster, getting ready for it. When it hit me, it's when we were in the pickup truck with just dirt road. We're lucky they even have a dead road. Back then, that road was my foot walking to coming to Ethiopia. The whole thing just hit me when I see where I was familiar with. When some of the people perish on, I seen, it's like I relived it all over again.
Jenny Dang, who came to Phoenix as a refugee from Sudan 21 years ago, he is now an American citizen. I also spoke with journalist Carla Lant, who is helping Dang write about his experiences.